This is Robert Stark. I'm joined here with Alex Sue. Alex
Hello.
Sue, it's great having you on.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
And I'm also joined here with my co-host, Pilliter.
Hi, Alex. I'm actually quite overwhelmed that you would like to be on a podcast, because I actually really like your art and stuff.
Thank you. Like, it's really nice to have, like, fans.
No, I'm, like, a good fan that's been, like, following your art for about, like, a year and a half now.
Well, dang. That's pretty amazing, and I never even, like, noticed. I usually notice when, like, people follow me, like, all around.
Alex Su, you're a big fan of Padalero, and you've done a lot of Padalero fan art. Can you talk about that?
Oh, heck yeah. I've been doing Petalero fan art for about, probably about 4 to 5 years now. I didn't really start drawing it till later. And, when I started drawing it, I kind of got, like, obsessed with it. And, I guess it died down, like, after, 2 years, but I still do it a lot because I like contributing to the fandom, because there isn't a lot of artists out there that actually do Padalero.
Did you find, like, Padalero by, like, accident through, like, YouTube, or did it just appear in, like, a feed, or how did you exactly found out about Padalero?
I found out about Padalero from a friend who's in, well, I actually forgot where she was, because I haven't talked to her in that long, but she's from one of the Spanish countries. But she told me about it, and when she did, I didn't really pay attention to it when she did, because I was like, okay. And then I, like, after she told me about a year later, then I started getting really into it. And then my girlfriend had found the anime on one of the websites, or I think it was an image, I don't really know. But once we found out about it again, then we started watching it, and then we became fans. But I became a bigger fan than her.
What's it about Padalero that really intrigued you? Is it more the aesthetics or the story, or equally both?
The aesthetics, the story, the comedy, the characters. Like, I find it really unique in a way.
Can you explain what Padalero is about and just kind of describe? Well, I have sort of the visual imagery, but describe kind of the story and the visual imagery to people in our audience who are not familiar with it.
Well, it's like 007 if it was gay and very colorful. It was extremely gay and colorful, and like the story is basically based around a boy. His name is Padalero, and he's basically the comedy relief of the whole entire anime, because he's a huge nuisance. But I find him funny because he usually messes around with one of the two main characters named Bakaran and Murahi.
Pilliter, didn't you say Padalero was a controversial at one point?
I still think it's pretty controversial because we haven't seen an official English translation of it, and rather just a fan sub by Amiral, who I've talked to, actually. Amiral, I actually tried to get him on the Stark Truth podcast, but he declined because supposedly he has a speech impediment, and I understand that. But he wants to get back to making, there's like 16 episodes right now that have English subtitles. But
yeah,
they want to go to 17 and they're in fantasy form. But at the current moment, I think they might want to do a, not a Kickstarter, but the Patreon or Pacha Back, do one of those and try to get money for it. But I don't know. It's been about almost a year now, and I'm kind of, you know, recently there was an official Padalero DVD box that came out like a month ago in Japan.
And it's expensive. It's like, so expensive.
Yeah, and yes, Asia,
was it
like
very controversial in Japan, or is it just you saying more to American audience?
I would think to the American audience, and I think it's much more accepted in the Japanese area. I think if you really like yaoi, it's kind of like the classical yaoi is one of the first, and it's also one of the first shoneis, and it's kind of I think it's just in the American context, it's probably controversial because of all, you know, somebody will say has a pedophile nature, or even the uses of like Nazi imagery when there's Nazi Pataleo, or even
it's kind of like something to it's like offend everyone.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah,
it's probably like it would be offensive if you paid attention hard enough to it, but if you don't take it like super duper seriously, you won't get offended.
Or to people like, who are kind of just not really interested in it, just kind of like your average person who just kind of stumbles across it, and they'll like say whether they're offended by like cross-dressing or Nazi imagery. But if you actually like take the time to enjoy it, then you can really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Like, can you comment on the aesthetic influence? I know there was a strong Art Nouveau influence on Pataliro, like a lot of those artists from like the early 20th century.
Yeah. Well, the aesthetics, like the colors, the washed out colors in Pataliro is like, I get a lot of my color palettes that I use from that show. Because it's like, it's really colorful, but when you see the cells, it's still like, it looks different on the cells, but on like, on the actual visuals, when they move, it looks like washed out colors. But it's really pretty when you look at it. Also, one of my friends had recently pointed out, her name is Rory, she had recently pointed out that, when you watch the anime, you see a lot of curtains out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's just random curtains everywhere.
I see sometimes a Tumblr post on that, actually. It was on Tumblr with a curtain post.
Yeah, I think that's like, she noticed it, and then we saw the post on Tumblr.
Well, I think of Andrea Beardsley, who did, he was during that time, I think it was like 1880, he was very influenced from the Japanese prints, and he did this kind of very Victorian style. I know Minio Maya himself, who made Pataleo, has said that influence in a, I don't know where the exact source is, but when it also reminds me of an Irish painter named Harry Clark, or Harry O'Clark, and he does like these Irish, you know, like window things, the very stick figure character things. You see this in Western art, and when it comes over to Japan, but in the sense that Minio Maya is so unique that, like Tezuka, he has his own character influence. Like, you see his art, you know it's by that manga artist. That's what I'm getting from him, which is interesting.
Yeah.
What medium do you mostly work in?
I work on digital mostly. I used to do traditional, but I work on digital way more because, like, my vision is, like, such crap. Digital is, like, the thing that I mostly see the most.
Well, I was... Do you use one of those, like, drawing pads? Yeah, no, I can't pronounce them. They're, like, they're $100. Get... I want to get one of those so I can do some more art, but I'm always too lazy. But I'm thinking about it, though.
You should.
Like,
it's really fun.
I used to do like hang tie and stuff, and I don't know if I'll make improved hang tie with it, but
oh my god,
it's been a consideration. But I mean, I take my art seriously, and if I was to do some hang tie, it would be kind of artistic, but also very sexy and esoteric in a way. You know, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. If you go on any of the Brew websites, it is amazing that most of these, you know, from Japanese like the artists, but it's like,
oh my god,
like, you ever use a Brew website?
Yes, I use X Brew and Dan Brew.
Yes, Dan and Gel. Like, so you can get so Brew. You can be like purple hair, dark skin, Dragon Ball Z, right? Or you could be like, people can really pervy on there. Like, there'll be like some emoticons for some sex figures, like a duck face when it's like oral sex or something, you know?
Yeah, weird.
You know what I like? I mean, I'm kind of aesthetic wise. I like blonde hair, dark skin, beach, gongoro. I don't know. I think that's nice. A lot of it, some people can get very But I'm saying it's super specific. You can find
whatever. Actually, I know what you mean.
I don't know. But
I know what you mean.
Is Gongoro, is it Pleader, is it pretty widespread in Japan, or it's more like a niche subculture?
I think what happened in the 90s, Gongoro was really big, especially with the whole rave culture around the world, and they had Eurobeat, and that was kind of the scene there. And then I think it's now Gal form, Gyaru, which is now the evolution of Gongoro, where it's this dark skin, blonde hair. They look like an American girl, but they're Japanese, and they want to sleep with American men. I actually love that style so much. A lot of people still think it's this kind of slutty or even racist style of... No, I love it. I think it's cute. I think it's funny, and I think it's kind of...
I think it's really cool. I mean, like, it's just a style. Like, a lot of people, like, you know, they put race into everything. I really don't think it's bad at all.
I think it's like hip-hop and street, and it's, like, sexy and cool. Yeah. I like that. It's a lot in the porn, though. If you like look up Japanese porn online, you'll see some Gyaru girl or some dark skin blonde. There's a lot of that or something. It's often association with prostitution.
There's a lot of it in even yaoi. They even have it in that too. I actually look at that though. You know,
I'm thinking of Peach Girl, but I can't think of a yaoi with a. Can you give some recommendations?
I'd probably have to send the link. I don't know them by heart.
Okay. Because I would know these. Like, I've read a lot of trans-translated shoujo in manga, and I lose the names, too. I'm thinking of this one, Gyaru, prostitute, and it's basically her life as a prostitute, and then she meets this grandma, and she talks about this flower, and she falls in love with this nice kid. And then she dies of AIDS, and it's a really sad story, and it's like two parts. Oh, I can't remember that one, but I remember I really liked that. I think it was last year I read it.
Do you have a favorite Padalero episode?
I haven't even seen all of them, but, the one that I like, but is not translated, it's when basically Bonkron's, future self comes from the future.
Does he have laser eyes in that episode?
Yes. Oh, okay. They battle each other and shoot lasers at each other. And there's this part where the character, Marahi, he comes while they're chilling out, and he comes and shoots him. And he just daintily passes out. It was just so random. I don't know why I love that episode.
I want them to be all trans, because I'm thinking one day, you know, I took Asian studies and I took 3 years of Japanese, and I should just sit down and watch them or do self-translation. But at the same time, it's I kind of want these English translations to come out, so it's I can really appreciate it. I feel as though if I watch it in okay Japanese, I'll maybe understand it. There's one episode online where it's Mary Ark, that's why I say it, She gets raped, or is it Mariark or Meraki? I can never really.
I usually say Meraki.
Meraki, yeah, that's what I thought. There's this one episode where Meraki gets, I think it's her early childhood story where she gets raped, and I think that's a very controversial episode. I don't even know how, if you were to make an official English dub of that, how would that go over to the West? But,
it would probably be it would just be the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think my favorite...
Would they just translate that they were just, on a playground and they were just playing? It's fine.
I think my... one of my favorite episodes recently, I think it was episode... It might have been episode 17 or 16. Not the one with the diamond. It was, I think it was 17. It's basically was... there's an art museum director, and he has a half-German Japanese... You know what I'm talking about, this one. Do you know what the episode is?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll tell it to Robert. Okay, so there's a art director, and he has a German-Japanese assistant, and he's really goofy and silly, and the whole episode centers around him. There's a thief that steals, I think it's a jewel from a statue, and he gets Bankron to go in there and save it. However, there's a Bankron mimic that is... There's copycats. There's two of them, just two jacks. And so what happens is there's this kind of flirtation with Pataleo's mom, which is kind of a love interest with Jack. And then, I'll give the spoiler here, before the fake bank run is fooled, it turns out the art director is Pataleo himself, and it's kind of this big, interesting joke at the end where we can't trust either person. And basically, Pataleo is putting a huge joke on the audience itself. And I find that really funny, that recent episode.
Yeah. I was like, it's a really good thing, because that means that mayonnaise has a really good sense of humor. instead of, like, me and my friend, like, I forgot which friend I was talking to, but, like, since my friend, for some reason, couldn't pronounce Mayonnaise, I was just like, well, you can just call him mayonnaise.
Huh. That's interesting.
You also have a Ask Mariach Tumblr where you ask, people ask questions and then you draw them back.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about that?
That one I had made with my friend. Her name is Smoky Violet. And she also has a Tumblr. She's like, she was like my best friend. But recently she lost internet in July. So I've been like, I've been waiting for her to like come back and reach out to me. Mm. So,
that's funny because you know also someone who does a Pataleo fan blog, but it's all Maraki. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, and right now, I'm doing it with my friend Ayan, and we're working on it together. She also has a Pataleo blog. It's not like dedicated to Pataleo, but she does do a lot of Pataleo fan art with me, and it's really fun.
I like when... Are you spiritually Meraki? I know Emiral, the translator of the English subs of Pataleo, he's always seen himself as this cross-dressing figure or looked at himself as Meraki. And I think it's funny. Is there some personality with that character in you?
Well, no. Okay. Like, I see myself more as, Bankaran.
Oh.
Because, well, I drink a lot.
Oh, okay.
So, like, I'm fine with that. And, like, my friend Ayan is more spiritually Brahi than I am, than I ever freaking was. So,
I'm trying to be spiritually like Meraki. Meraki, because, I don't know, I like the whole cross-dressing, slick, Art Nouveau, Asian style queerness to it, and I don't know, I kind of like that.
Yeah, it's cool. Like, especially like the clothing choices that he has. He's so like into all these great outfits and fashion, and I really like that about him. I also love drawing him because of his hair in his clothing. That's why I mostly made an Ask Mariach blog with my own friend.
I like when you did
Are those animations on your Tumblr site? The one, did you design those, or those from the original Pataleo?
The animations? Which ones?
On your Tumblr, the first thing you go up, there's a lot of animations.
A lot of animations. You mean like on my Asmodee or my regular?
Your regular Tumblr.
Oh, like, but which ones? There's, like, a lot of animation.
They're all super cute, and, I love your character so much. I, like, wish people were like that in real life. I'm serious.
My characters?
Yes! It's like, I feel like, oh my, I wish there were just more awesome girls and boys that looked like that, and they were kind of weird and asexual with different colored hairs, and, like, I have a very interesting imagination. But I feel like that is actually art comes like crossing over into our culture and soon will affect our influence of how we look at art. And maybe eventually in America, everyone will be like futuristic Japanese cross-dressing anime characters.
Or am I doing? And I like how the characters in Pataleo are so androgynous. You have, as Matriarch is the one with the long orange hair.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then she looks like a girl in the picture, but It's a very erotic scene where they're, you don't, well, they don't show, obviously don't show like their genitals, but they show a lot of skin. And the other character behind, who's the character of the black, long black hair?
Jack.
So Jack is kissing her back, and they have all these like different colorful fabrics around them and their skin moving around.
I know. It's kind of sexy in a way, and I think it is deliberately erotic, and that adds to the offense in the punk style of the show where it's like flirting with that. And you have to
remember, like, that show, it doesn't care. It doesn't care at all.
Like,
it's just interesting.
You know, it's funny. We had a guest on the show named Jeffrey Mishlove, and he's a host of New Thinking Aloud. When he saw my avatar, he was like, I see two different images in that picture. I see a fish and a face, and it could mean two different things. I was like, oh, well, it turns happens he's a cross-dresser. It's both a he and a she. I see.
A fish.
So you can kind of get it right on when you see the picture, maybe, depending if you see it.
Yeah, what's interesting about, like, animation is he's, like, a cross-dresser, but in the drawings, like, Padaliro's the character, like, you can't always tell their genders. I see this thing where you had, like, you posted these pictures of these different models who dress up, they dress up like the characters.
Mm-hmm. It was, what I had posted was a new stage play from Patalira. Oh, yeah. And they did such a good job.
Was this in Japan?
Yeah,
it's in Japan. We're like, we're trying to, me and my friend Ayan, we've been like trying to figure out everything so that way we could at least get a DVD of this.
Hopefully so. I mean, it's playing live. I would love to know too. It's just, yeah. Once again, I have to use my Japanese to my power. I'm so slow with it. Like, I can hear elementary and pick up like words and verbs when I speak it back. When my teachers say that, I'm like a first grader when I do it, but I can understand what happens. I'm getting there, but it's like, yes, I would love to see if somebody can just record it and put it on Nika Nika Duga or something, or Japanese YouTube, or something like that. Hopefully it'll come out.
This is like, this is because like on Twitter there's so many pictures.
It's kind of an interesting concept, like taking an animation and then turning it into like a live action play. It's been done before, but it's a fascinating concept because you have this kind of a visual image of what an animated character could look like, and like finding an actor who fits that visual image.
Yeah, like the characters, the people that they picked for this play really, really fits. Like they did a really, really good job. Like the only thing that they probably changed was their outfits, but that's still not a big job, big deal, because it still looks great.
I think
so. Bankeron is that that kind of looks almost like looks like a sea otter almost in that picture.
he's a pretty boy killer, and he seduces people with his pretty eyes, and he gets young underage boys and seduces them.
There's one where he's – it's a hentai with a Padaliro with his legs open, and Bankeron is giving him a blowjob.
I think I know what you're talking about.
What?
I think I know.
It's on your Tumblr. Did you sign that?
I know what you're talking about. I know what he's talking about.
Yeah, but it's like the legs are spread out, so it's like, looks like kind of lingus, and it's –
I'm not even sure which picture.
Oh, it's from someone else's Tumblr, via Bon So Vengeance Tumblr.
Okay.
Is it did I reblog it?
You reblogged it.
Okay.
I'm trying
figure out. I have no idea if it's from the original Padaliro, but
no.
The original Padaliro wouldn't have hentai.
Oh no, well, actually, there are soft scenes in Pataleo. There are kind of... There's a famous... I think it's episode 5 or 6 where Meraki's originally assassin trying to get Jack, and then he unsuccessfully gets Jack. And then later on, Jack gets some hostage, and he's like, tell me where the Diamond Syndicate is. And then he's like, no. And it's like, then there's only one way. I have to seduce and have sex with you. and then there's this kind of, I wouldn't say rape scene, but it's there, and then Meraki afterward is like, thank you, Jack. I'm now on the good side. You showed me how sexy you were, and I'm turning evil from good. Or on an independent side. I don't know, but there is that funny, you know, interesting part that you...
Yeah, it was, it was funny, because, like, all he had to do was do that, and all of a sudden he was just like, yeah, okay, I'm done. Yeah, I'll go with you now.
Mariachi is an 18-year-old former assassin from the Diamond Syndicate.
Yes.
So he's the one who it was in that picture, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Padaliro is the little boy.
Yep.
Yeah. That's what you confused me on.
I got, yeah.
I was like, oh my god, why would I reblock that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny because when I first discovered Padaliro, it was literally on Japanese YouTube. And it was the ending scene where it's just Jack and Meraki. I love the orange and black hair.
That beautiful name. I mean, not beautiful name. I mean, beautiful song at the end.
Yes, and it was just that orange and black that really compelled me. This kind of gothic style, like gothic Lolita style. And then when I did my own Japanese and put it in, I found out it was about a little boy who, a little gay boy who has diabetes who rules his own country. I'm like, what? That's what the anime is about?
Yeah.
And then
basically, the country he rules is it's like a total fantasy world. It's not, is it based on like Japan or is it just some fictional?
It's his own world. Yeah. It's like,
yeah.
It's this whole world.
The place that he lives in does not exist.
How would you describe the kind of visual imagery of the aesthetic of that world?
How would I describe? Like, it reminds me a lot of England. If England and Japan were shoved together and were like, made.
Okay, well, I was saying that same thing about the video game A Legend of Zelda. It's like a say the word, but like a cross between like medieval England with like Japan.
It's Asian, it's Asianarian, right? That's what
Legend
I was
of Zelda or Padaliro or both.
Maybe all. Like I'm saying, it's like that's what I thought of Padaliro. Yeah. It's like. It's like, yeah, it's England, it's Japan, but they're also, like, cross-dressing people, and, like, there's this whole, like, they're
American
a new race of people. They're, like, white, like, they're, like, a new mix of, like, American Japanese people that's have English backgrounds, but, like, have different, it's really weird and multiracial
with
Japanese.
Is that,
and
like, how you envision your, utopia as being, like...
Padaliro? Probably, yeah, but with the whole cross-dressing part, that's optional and too esoteric and kind of strange. I mean, yeah, there can
be
its own
place
like
dictator.
That.
You wouldn't be like a dictator making like cross-dressing mandatory.
That's Padaliro, but I guess my own country would be on the same style of aesthetics of Padaliro. I mean, I love the two ideals that there's this super new hybrid Japanese race. It's like not white, it's not Asian, but it's like this.
But more
new...
so, you say you would prefer more Padaliro than Akira.
Oh yeah, Akira is a dystopia. I think so. I would appear because it's like it's like if anime was real. That's what I'm advocating.
Yeah.
wasn't that some like alt?
Except
some,
I don't think if you like
some, like alt right meme going around that says like make America anime again. Or some kind of meme.
There's an actual meme.
There's a meme called, like, Make America Anime Again. Or...
No, it's Bernie Sanders will make anime real. Or something. And that's where it started.
Trump.
That's
or
where it started.
Trump supporters? Or I don't know.
I think it was just Sanders and said, Bernie Sanders will make anime real. And then it began, like, earlier this year. And now it's everyone, pretty much.
Pillator, what was that anime you sent me? It was like... It was Japanese, but you said it was like, it reminded you of like a Lasse Nielsen film.
Oh, I was just thinking of that. The Poem of the Wind and, where is it? It was this one, it was one of the first yaois, Sergei and Gilbert. Those were the two.
I love them. Oh my gosh.
I love that. I just saw it a few weeks ago and I'm in love
really?
With it.
Really? I have fan art of it. I do. I have like a lot.
Oh, you've made fan art of that one.
Yeah.
I can't.
Can you
remember
explain
its name.
The story behind it?
It's hard to explain because like
what happened was I didn't get into it till about a year ago.
Kaze to ki no uta. That's what it is. The wind and the the poem of the wind and the rise. That's it.
Yeah. I always call
poem
it
poem of the wind and the.
The wind and the. Koze to no ki no uta.
Wind and the gay.
Okay, that works. But I really just saw it like 2 weeks ago, and I love it. And it remind there's a gay director named Lasse Nielsen, and he does a lot of like boys like discovering their gay sexuality when they go in a shower room or they have blonde hair and they just feel each other up, but it's not like sex at all. And it just I showed like the ending, like they don't have sex in the end; they just like cuddle. And then
And Katsa to ki no uta or Lasse Nielsen.
That's it. Both. Like Kasi no.
They're similar. Yeah. Yeah, they're similar.
And at the end, they just like cuddle and they realize like you're not alone. That Nielsen film. Like when they see each other in the shower and they hug each other at the same end.
They actually censored that film for American audience.
Yeah, because
it's holy shit.
Because they're underage, and it's like that's literally oh, like sure. pedophilia or some kind of.
Yeah, I can understand when I listen to that.
But once again, it's aesthetically pleasing, and it's just like, oh, I wish I was Sergei. I'm serious. Like, I wish I had a Gilbert boyfriend. Like, I have a picture on my desktop.
It's like, if that actually happened, like, that would actually be cute. It would be something nice to remember.
I know, and it's sad because it's.
Kinu Uta.
Also, the ending was very sad.
Yeah, it is.
It goes back to that whole Asian Aryan scene theme because doesn't it? It's Japanese, but I think it actually takes place in France.
Yes.
Yeah.
It also,
yeah.
Isn't the last name of Gilbert Bataline, who is like a sadist writer? I don't read much of it. You know what I'm talking?
I think so.
Yeah,
I do.
Bataline. I'm gonna look Google search it real quick. I can't believe I can't pronounce his name.
Wait, who are you looking for?
You know Desaad. There was another writer similar to Desaad, Bataline, Battaline.
Yeah, sounds familiar, but I can't.
It's like you know it, and it's like I never really read his work. But supposedly, Gilbert's last name is related to that, and therefore it's a
Gilbert's character is Gilbert Cock-Cutu.
French writer. I can't believe I can't pronounce his name right. And because I never really read much
this
of
this. It gets disturbing because one of the character gets homosexually drugged and gang raped.
Yes.
Japanese anime in some ways is like shows far more stuff than a Western.
Yeah.
But you can also get away with a lot of stuff in an anime that you can't get away in a live action performance. This would probably be illegal. Like a Katsu to Ki no Uta would be illegal to make if it was like an actual live action film.
I would love that.
Yeah. It would be very illegal.
And it also came out, the series was in the 70s and 80s. Like, it seems so was Padalero.
Yeah.
And so were all those, like, avant-garde European films we've talked about.
It's on the Wikipedia page for The Wind. It's considered one of the first yaois or boy love shows, along with Padalero. So it's in that incubation stage. Some creative period was happening during the late 70s and early 80s. Especially.
Yeah, it really was.
I don't know. I don't know if we'll come across that again at the current moment. I don't know what's considered cutting edge in Japanese art and animation, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't really.
Tumblr art and Twitter. I think it's just American people just doing, or everybody around the world just doing anime and Twitter and yaoi art like your art. So that's what I think is cutting edge right now at the moment.
It really is.
I love it.
There's a Tumblr profile for the poem of the wind in the trees.
Like right now, I have another blog with a profile picture of Gilbert, but I think I don't know if it's changed. I think it should still be there.
That also has a really interesting aesthetic. Let me send it. Let me just send it to you really quick. Let me see if I can send it to you really quick.
I also like, I just want to reference this real quick. I love King of Fighters, and one of the main characters in King of Fighters 13 was Ash Crimson, and he's a crossdresser too. And the first time I played King of Fighters, I was like, that's a guy. I'm like, no, my friends are like, it was like, that's a girl. Nope. And then guys are like, okay, no, that's a guy.
I sent it to you, but that it has the same kind of like Art Nouveau influence as a Padaliro.
I love it.
But also
that.
Traditional Japanese
art,
but the Art Nouveau as well.
Their art is like so elegant and beautiful. It's breathtaking, honestly.
There was a famous Czech artist, Alphonse Mucha, who was famous for those prints. Are you familiar with him?
Not really.
No, I can't think of that is.
And his work has like it's very kind of like organic. Like everything, there's all these like flowers and fabrics. I guess if you can do like a quick like Google search, Alphonse Mucha prints, Mucha.
Oh, I Mucha,
Mucha. Yeah, Alphonse Mucha, and you can kind of see the influence.
I'm trying to. Okay, let's see if I know that guy.
I see it now.
Oh yeah, I should. Yeah, know this. Funny. I know what you're talking about. Sorry, I'm not an art historian, but like that's something
I'm also bad with names.
Yeah, me too.
If you I've seen like artists on Tumblr take a lot of inspiration from his artwork. Design. Yeah. My friend also recently took inspiration from one of the images too. By Alfonso Mucha.
So art ties in with music, and you have a SoundCloud page where you so you're not a musician yourself, but you collect music that you find pleasing that it goes with your work and your art.
And most of the music that I really like is I sometimes like Witch House. I like Vaporwave. I like really anything. Like
are you familiar with like new Retrowave?
Yes, I am.
Do you have like a favorite artist?
I don't know at the moment.
What do you think about the whole sort of like vaporwave aesthetic?
I freaking love it. I think the vaporwave aesthetic is really relaxing, especially when it mostly sometimes deals with things that I really love, which is like vintage stuff and vintage anime.
Me too.
And it has the same color palette as Padaliro, the vaporwave, a lot of the vaporwaves.
Uh-huh. Well, kind of. Yeah. It's usually like neons and all these cool colors. Mostly, like a lot of the vaporwave videos usually have either a GIF of
like a Roman bust and a lot of pink, a lot of pink, mm-hmm. a lot of turquoise, and then like some maybe Japanese influence, but the color palette. Or you see like a pink, turquoise, and black. I mean, I'm an artist myself, and I paint in oil paint, so like I can't really do illustrations. I paint these sort of thick brush strokes. But Pilliter, if you've seen my work, I do kind of like to use the same color palette.
Oh yeah, like Robert does a lot of. Acrylics.
Oil colors.
Because it's very, there's a certain color you work with, and it's like not teal, but like red and blue, and like kind of the casino outlook and like cityscaping. Kind of interesting in that respect. Unlike my art,
I like them.
Which I've only showed like Robert a few things I did in school.
You mostly work in like Sharpies, mostly.
Well, that was in school. And
those are the ones. You went on table too?
Yeah, I did art on tables. I did hands on tables.
Draw. Yeah, I like to draw in Sharpies. Yeah, sure.
And pencils in my schoolwork, and I'll draw like cute girls and guys and stuff. But I should upload it, but Well, there's some of it uploaded, but I kind of very shy about it. That's why I should just go over to digital and just do things.
Oh, you're saying you're shy? You've never uploaded your hentai.
Well, it's there, it's floating, but I don't really like to say where it is.
I'm kind of like, would like to kind of go with that aesthetic for the book. I'm working on a book that Pill Eater is helping me with.
Oh, that sounds cool.
I mean, Pill Eater, I don't want to give away the plot, but how would you describe the aesthetic of the novel?
There's a part in the book, I think it's at part two, where it's a vaporwave city. And basically, we're trying to get a novelization of the whole vaporwave genre and put it into the context of a city so that you can put it in, like, text and somebody can read about it. So, like, when I think of vaporwave, for some reason, I think of the color purple and, like, Japanese buildings and, like, all this, like, weird... Like, anime is real. The whole thing with the whole anime is real thing. It's like a big phenomenon going on with
but
vaporwave.
I haven't decided if I should go with the kind of more kind of light vaporwave aesthetic or the more dark, like...
Cyberpunker.
What's the one we were...
I like lighthearted anime is real shoujo aesthetic stuff, but...
Yeah.
And Fiji, water, and
but I was
lump.
Thinking about, do you know the scene... I was thinking of doing kind of the Padaliro aesthetic for... The Cunnilingus scene.
Oh,
Cunnilingus.
Well, there's a sex scene and we were like influenced by like Yaoi and stuff, and we're like, we should make it like a Pataleo fan fiction in the novel or something really strange. I don't know how it'd be written out. That's the thing, because it's really hard to put art in words. So you can be like a scene from Pataleo, and if you get the indoor joke, you get it.
Yeah.
Whatchamacallit. I'm writing a novel too. We're all writing novels, which is more about
novel.
Like, I know everyone's writing a novel, but I have this like I have 30,000 words down, and I'm like writing this thing about like the past 5 years of my life, where it's like undergrad life and college, and like trying the relationships I was in. But I kind of.
Oh, is this separate than your Asian Aryan book?
No, it's the same thing. It's a compilation. It's the same thing. And, like, in this book, in this one chapter I'm doing, it's, like, it goes along with Robert's Vaporwave City, but it's more like anime is real, and it's, like, there's this new Japanese race of people, and it's kind of a science fiction thing that I'm working on. But at the same time, it's crossing over in my real-life memoirs, and I'm trying to say it's real. And so I don't know where I'm actually going with it, but it's kind of like that. Like, you know, it's fun on your music page. Like, it's funny. I had no idea what Kyoto Kyo Bonita was until you showed me.
Kyoto, I love her. Oh my God.
Thank you for showing me that, because that's the aesthetic.
You're welcome.
That's the aesthetic I'm trying to go to. They went to Philadelphia like a few weeks with my ignorance. And then when you told me, I missed my 2 weeks. I'm like, why didn't I go? I want to see them now.
I've missed a lot of her concerts. She's so cool. They're all cool, actually.
Like, that's literally like, the aesthetic I'm going for in my book.
That's cool. Well, I'm glad to have helped you.
And, like, I don't know. I love, like, Yukihiro Takahashi and Yellow Music Orchestra. Some of the old Japanese bands, like The Plastics and Sandy and the Sunsets. I really like cheesy, Yeah, I really like cheesy, like, Japanese new wave from, like, the 80s and 90s, and that's something I, like, really listen to and like. People will make vaporwave tracks of that and just, like, cut it up and slow it down and stuff, but I think of it as an authentic, like, subculture and such. I think it's really taking off at this current moment with, like, the whole Twitter, Tumblr, and, like, scene on the internet. I think SoundCloud has something to do with that music overcrosses the aesthetics of images. And so it's really creating, like, weird subcultures. And for lack of a better term, I call it Asian Aryan for some reason.
And, oh my God, I forgot what I was going to say. But one thing is that I think I was going to say something about Kyoto Kyo Bonita, but I had watched one of her, like, you know, when they, like, when they record videos of like their adventures in different places, like I missed one of her concerts, and I think it was New York, and I was like, and when I found out, I was so angry, because like if you've seen her music videos, they're really fun and they're really peppy.
Oh yeah. I know what you're saying. I glimpsed over them a bit. It was Graduation, and like, yeah, it's definitely something you have to see live. A few weeks ago, I saw, do you know Mitski? I really love Mitski. I saw her live. She's kind of like indie rock, but Kirokiro Bonita is more like on the aesthetic wise of what happens when you mash like the Japanese pop culture into our own American postmodern thing, and then you get this new thing, like a phoenix that rises from the ashes or something strange. Yeah. I think it's happening now. Like, note you showed me too. You showed me Clover and Sea Life too on your on your SoundCloud, and I love them too.
Really? I did? Cool.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I found out about it. I'm like, he's pretty cool too, and he's living out that Asian-Aryan aesthetic too. I have to podcast with him too, because the music's cool and the aesthetic, and it's like, that's what I'm trying to aim for.
The art is amazing.
Yes.
Like, I love the art so much.
Do you know of Sarah Anderson? She's been doing these Twee comics that have been catching on lately.
Sarah Anderson. I think I do.
She does these, like, they're kind of Japanese influence style, like very chibi style, but it's really like American. She's somewhat young, but like at the same time, it's becoming a meme in itself online, and she can't control it.
Sarah
Anderson.
Not
really.
Like, I know who you're talking. I know exactly who you're talking about. But like, okay, does she have a Twitter?
Yeah, she has a Twitter and a Facebook and a book out. And supposedly she writes these like 6-panel comics where she's like really twee, like Jonen Vasquez is Invader Zim like. But it's like kind of anime based, and she's checking about how twee her life is and happy. But people are mad and they're cringe at it. So like they make fun of her by making these really insultive, racist comic versions of it. She's getting mad.
Oh, Sarah Anderson, like the comic maker who like does like adulthood and stuff.
Oh yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I love her.
Okay, yeah. How much of that Japanese influence is in her art, or that's what I'm saying?
Not really sure.
Oh, okay.
Like when usually when I see her, I think it's like adorable.
Yeah.
Like usually she draws like the big eyes. It's like cartoony. It's very cartoony.
Okay.
And that's why I like.
Do you like Steven Universe?
No.
Okay. Do you like Star versus the Forces of Evil?
Oh, is that the one you did that review?
Okay, you love Star?
You did that review on YouTube of all the sexual innuendo on Star versus the Forces of Evil.
Yes, I love Star versus the Forces of Evil, and I have friends in school who are like, Steven Universe is better. I'm like, what the heck, dude? Star is better. And I have all these reasons
why. No, I like Star.
I love Star. And I've made like a documentary. I made two documentaries on my YouTube channel, a 40-minute documentary about all the sexual innuendos in Star, and
it's interesting.
There's so many.
It's geared towards children, but there is something like about the way the characters are drawn that's very erotic.
Yes, it's like West Coast culture. It's like they're not in their teens; like, they're like 25, 26, and like
yeah,
like she's adorable, but she has devil.
Yeah,
and like. Rainbows, it's just like it's very different, and that's I like that.
Like the target audience is literally like West Coast college graduated like kids who like go to punk rock shows, vegan restaurants and art galleries. And one of my other arguments is like they all have Asian girlfriends and they don't want to admit it because they love Japan so much. that's my and everybody gets mad.
Someone on Twitter the other day said something about like everyone is hiding behind their anime avatar. Did you hear that?
Oh, I saw that one. You showed me that.
I forget.
Basically, I forget the person too, but the person said on the Twitter feed that everyone on Twitter has anime avatars. But if you were to call them out on that, you'll get shot like similar to like in Islam where the burqa represents the... So everyone has a burqa, but that burqa is an anime avatar or that we're influenced by Asian culture. And if you were to take that off and point out the obvious, then you get shot or something. And that's what I'm doing. Jeez. With Star. I don't know. Something really radical and funny. Like,
well, I mean, like they say, like, hide behind it. Like, I don't really hide behind my avatar. Mostly, I just want to, like,
show people that I draw. Like, if I could, if I posted a picture of, like, myself, my regular avatar, I usually find that as, like, you know, boring. Like, yeah, that's my face.
Yeah.
So I mean, just like, I'm just going to put a picture.
I'm kind of hiding behind an avatar right now, but I think Meraki does represent my personality real well. So I'm going to use Meraki as my real self until I don't think I'm going to change in a bit, but I think Meraki and Padaleo has a pretty good aesthetic to it.
You put out a lot of your work on Tumblr, and I mean, I'm an artist myself, and I'm interested in promoting my work. For artists out there, what advice would you give to promoting their work online?
Tell people about it. Just tell people about it. Also, it's really hard to get noticed on Tumblr, so a lot of people usually start with fan art, but you don't have to do that. Like, it's not mandatory. Like, there are a lot of artists that get famous for just their art in general. So basically, you could actually just, you know, tell other famous artists about your works. Like, some are really nice and they'll, like, give you a shout out. Like, I do. Like, I'd totally give someone, like, a shout out for their art for other people to notice. And, like, putting it on social media is a really big help for getting noticed.
And I noticed commissions too. People love commissions. And I think, like,
people love commissions.
If somebody does album art for music, I think that's a high boost. Have you ever got, like, commissions for, like, music before? Or not really.
No, I haven't. I would love to, though. Like, holy crap.
I would consider. I would definitely consider for even book art. Like, if I, let's say I do a book, I would say, can you help me do some album art? I'll pay you
$300. Oh, my God. Later, do you have a cover design for your book?
No, I don't. That's why I would ask Alex and be like, Alex, I'll give you $300 to make a really fancy album book cover.
Oh my gosh, I'd do it.
Okay, I'll think about it. Or even music, that wise. I do make music too, so.
Oh, cool. I totally like making music pictures. Also, what was I going to say? Like, I have a YouTube channel that goes by the name of BG Mike. I've done art. I did his cover photo.
Oh, okay.
And I'm also going to be doing his own t-shirt logo.
Awesome.
Yeah. You can just like search that up and check that out. I'll type the name of the channel.
I was thinking of Star versus the Forces of Evil again for some reason. I've seen every episode. Like, I got her to get into it like last year. Like, one of my favorite cartoon shows was, like, My Life as a Teenage Robot. I grew up with that.
Oh, my God. I love that show so much.
And then all of a sudden, it was, like, Mighty B. I did like Mighty B for a bit. And then,
yeah, I love the animation from Mighty B.
It was the same guy, Alex Kerwin, who was the art director.
Oh, okay.
And then, like, with the whole, like, Star vs. the Forces of Evil and B and Puppy Cat thing coming on, I'm, like, hooked back on. I wish every single cartoon was like this. I think they're getting on to that. Like, it's weird because it's, like, a whole culture at this
point. You can kind of tell. You could tell that Cartoon Network is really catching on to these art styles.
Yeah, and this is Disney. Like, this is Disney-owned Star. It's not like Disney has this really, like, family wholesome values, like, Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon doesn't have, where everything is so, like, twee and, like, happy. And, like, I've seen, like, all the episodes of Star on mute before I got it into the dialogue because I was way too shy to watch Star thinking it would have an influence over me. And so I would put it on mute while I'd be busy doing homework, and then I was slowly seduced by Star. And then it became an addiction.
This goes back to the whole anime thing, like, about Padaleo is in our culture, well, not anymore, now there's a whole kind of adult cartoon thing, like Adult Swim, but for a long time, traditionally in our culture, Western culture, cartoons were seen as for children, and Japanese culture of the anime, like Padaleo and the other one we were
talking about. That is not for kids.
Those were adult-oriented, and that was way back in the 70s and the 80s. I think this sort of adult cartoon thing really didn't, in our culture, didn't really get started till the 21st century.
Or, like, just the past 3 years. Now, like, Adventure
Time. recently I just like I was at my family's house and someone was like, oh, cartoons are for kids, and I was like, no, they're not.
There's kind of this gradual like transition. So originally cartoons were G-rated, then mm-hmm. The Simpsons came around like around 89-90. The Simpsons mm-hmm. are maybe kind of like PG, and then like in 99, Family Guy came around, and that was like maybe like, or South Park, and well, Family Guy's maybe kind of like, it's rated like TV-14, and mm-hmm. then now we get up to like, now we
that was like probably a, like
Adult
TV
Swim movie. Is like, some of their stuff is like borderline X-rated.
Yeah.
Or like World Peace. That was only on for Adult Swim, like for 6 episodes and on midnight. And that was pretty much a really radical show. And then it stopped and that was sad. But it was really, that's some live action I think is really funny.
Yeah, that's live action. But it's live action. Same with like Tim and Eric. Those shows are live action, but they're cartoonish in a sense.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Here's when I think about like cartoons. Like, it seems to me, like, shows like Star and Adventure Time are pretty much geared to, like, millennials or, like, late Gen Xers who pretty much, like, cartoon has became a culture, but it's also now, like, a lifestyle that's almost influencing our politics and, like, who we associate and, like, identity. And it's becoming this really strange thing where it's becoming too creepy, like, real life. Like, yeah. Star, I think, represents everybody, every young, hip urbanite, on the like West Coast in California. Even though I've never been to California in my life, I think Star is a pretty much example of that lifestyle. And once again, I will have to advocate this, and I really think Star versus the Force of Evil is advocating this quote unquote Asian Aryan aesthetic where anime is becoming real thanks to Star versus the Forces of Evil. And that culture will like spread upon people, and everyone's gonna have a Japanese girlfriend or boyfriend in the future. And we're going to create this strange yaoi people. And then life could be like Fat Leo. And I'm dead serious. I hope that will happen.
Oh my gosh. I mean, if that happened, like, will that be, that won't be so bad?
It's like, better than multiculturalism and diversity. It's like the next step. That's my argument.
Next step
well,
in the
interesting
non-racism.
With the,
yes.
With like the political themes is, it's sort of like put, I think this whole kind of a lot of this anime stuff, like in the past, like right-wing types would have been very kind of dismissive of it. But now we have this whole sort of alt-right thing, and now they've sort of adopt anime as their whole thing on Twitter. Like yes. Everyone in the alt-right has an anime meme as an anime avatar.
Yeah, in some way.
It's strange, too, like because they're like a Donald Trump supporter. They can, like, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure or, like, Berserk and then relate it to, like, real life. And
or
like,
even, like, the Daily Stormer is, like, a neo-Nazi website, but they're, like, constantly using, like, anime.
Yes. Like, what is up with that?
Oh, gosh.
The neo-Nazi is an anime character or something. They want blue-eyed, blonde-haired anime characters, which is so convoluted if you think about it.
That's ridiculous.
So
are you freaking kidding me?
Yes, it's true. And so, like, either way, if you're, like, a neo-Nazi or, like, even on the far left, if you're some kind of radical communist, then everyone's working.
You can be the biggest asshole in the world, but you can still like anime.
Yes, yes. And basically how radical you are, even centrist, you're still supporting this new Asian pan cartoon anime as real lifestyle. And that's what's funny.
God.
I think it's gonna go. There's no stopping it, or something.
I'm calling the police.
Well, there was like a Family Guy episode where one day, I think it was like Peter woke up and he was in real life, or maybe it was The Simpsons. I think it was Family Guy. Maybe one day we'll just wake up and the whole world will be anime.
You ever see Kappa Mikey?
No.
Oh my gosh. That used to be my show, but if you actually go back and watch it, hold it.
Kappa Mikey is basically an American cartoon character, gets a job in Japan, and everybody's an anime character. I love that show in middle school.
I used to love that show. It was so freaking... Me and my brother, we would watch that every single time it goes on. And we'd be so excited.
Oh,
but,
like...
There was this one part that I'm trying to remember, but I'm probably not going to be able to, so I'm just going to scrap that idea. But it was really, that show was really, really freaking funny.
Do you remember?
We are getting close to the end of the show. Mm-hmm. Alex Zhu, is there anything you'd like to add to for our audience before I wrap things up?
What I would say the most was check out Patalero, go to my SoundCloud likes because you'll find a lot of nice stuff in there, and check out my art, please.
I like your art a lot because I wish like every like boy and girl and like girlfriend I know were like your art, and I hopefully one day your art will become real. And basically, everyone will like that in the year 2080. So that's going to happen.
2080! Yep. Oh my god, I'm dead.
Well, we'll have virtual reality in the near future, that's so right. You can live out your dream fantasy. And then you better start making a lot of money so you can like commission like a real life hentai experience in like virtual reality.
Maybe. But that will probably happen. They're making, I don't know if they'll do it by robots or like Oculus Rift or goggles, but it's coming soon.
They already have like an art program for virtual reality helmets.
Interesting.
Like you can create your own world in it. Like they already have that out. There's a video for it. And, I was also going to mention something. Oh, it's about my friend's art. Her Tumblr name is Albus Cornix. She also does Patalero art, and she's a huge fan of Patalero, and she's been like with me during a lot of the Patalero experience, especially talking to Maya Manal's daughter recently. We reached out to her, and she replied to us, and she reposted our art, and she actually talked to us, and we told her that like there's fans in the U.S. and really looking forward to.
That's amazing because like, that's literally his daughter loves your art, and that means you're like second degree. Your daughter, you're second degree related to Maya, and Maya basically that's awesome. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, she like yesterday, me and my friend Ayan, she saw both of our art and she thought both of our art was amazing. And we were so freaking happy. We didn't even know what to do with ourselves. So, just talking to her was freaking amazing. And I had to get one of my friends to like translate a response to her. Like even though she replied back to us in English, but we just like I wanted to reply back to her in like her her regular language.
Mm-hmm.
That way it can mean more. So, it was really cool. I was like, we were so happy because she actually replied to us. We weren't expecting like a reply, but we actually got one. And so I actually decided to like
send more art. Talking about Minio, Maya's daughter?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so like I decided to send more art to her, and hopefully my friend will too. You could like if you go on my Twitter, you'll also see the post of her response.
Yeah, I'm sure she showed it to her dad.
Yes.
Yeah. She said her dad was like really happy.
That's amazing. It's funny because it's interesting because Maya is an interesting as character himself. He himself is a crossdresser and a ballerina and like
yep, I've seen the picture.
Yep. And he's like I think he has, I don't know if he, like, he's married and has kids, but it's like, I think he has an appreciation for the male aesthetic. Like, maybe he's bisexual. Yeah. I don't know.
He probably is. Like, if he was, that'd be pretty normal.
I believe it.
Yeah. He was like, yeah. And, I forgot what it was called, but, like a lot of people think that like usually like Harajuku and all this other stuff, they like come out like every day, but really it's actually just a specific day where they all come out to like the street, I think, because I was basically like watching a video of like when they like specific times in Japan where they usually come out, like a lot of eccentric kind of different things. And I think that's really cool that they get to have a day to do that.
I'm pretty sure it's like never ending though. So I think that's really cool. I also look forward into like taking a trip to Japan. That would be
freaking cool. We are at the end of the show. Alex Su, I'd like to thank you for being on. It's been an excellent show.
Thank you. I had really fun talking.
And also, thanks, Pilliter.
Thanks, Alex, for being on. Pilita. I'm such a huge fan. I look forward to your art.
Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for being a huge fan. Thank you for supporting me. Oh, yeah. And also, I have a webcomic called Koi. I'm pretty sure you've heard of it before.
Yes.
Okay. So, we're all cool here.
Yep.
愛さない人はいない私を愛さない人はいない